KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah.
Making Logan weird since 2016.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place that is circling all around the sun. What a beautiful dream that could flash on the screen in a blink of an eye and be gone from me. Soft and sweet, let me hold it close and keep it here with me. And one day we will die, and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now we are young, let us lay in the sun and count every beautiful thing we can see. Love to be.
I go out, I'm alone. Where do you stay? In the dark of my evening, you're the dark of my evening.
You're listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast on Aggie Radio, KBLULP 92.3, Logan, Utah. We are morning news the modern way.
Yeah, we are.
So today it's sunny with a high of 65 and a low of 32.
Yeah. Jeez.
And today's air quality is good, and this mouse broke.
Just for the record, it does appear that we would be starting a little bit later than usual. That is true. You're not having a stroke. Well, I mean, you might be having a stroke. In that case,
if you feel a tingling down your spine, please go to the hospital.
Contact Life Alert or, you know, the old trusty 911. But we're probably going to move to a new time slot. It's kind of confirmed that we'll be starting at 8:30 in the morning, as opposed to 8. So just moving half an hour. So for those of you who wake up and listen to us at the tail end of our show, you know, maybe you'll hear the rest. For those of you who've been awake, you know, since the dawn of time.
And we're also moving to a slightly different format, which, speaking of, let's get moving. So today's word of the day is phenomology, which is the branch of science concerned with things as they are perceived, not directly derived from theory. So this is a GRE word, something that's probably good to write down if you plan on going to grad school. So there you go. And today's holiday is It's My Party Day. So,
and I can cry if I want to.
Yeah, if you're into 80s music, here's your chance to listen to that.
Or Vaporwave, if you know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. And this day in history, we have a couple things. So first off, in 2002, Jimmy Carter wins the Nobel Prize.
Do you know what he won the Nobel Prize for?
I think it's just Peace Prize.
Okay.
Right. Cool. For all of his humanitarian efforts over his lifetime.
Nice. And also this day in history, in 1939, the Einstein-Szilard letter was delivered to Franklin D. Roosevelt, warning him about the potential for nuclear power, which, as we know, spawned a whole generation of the Manhattan Project and the arms race, leading to the Cold War, the eventual dissolution of the USSR. So, yeah, pretty cool day.
So, in international news, Haiti says, quote, "People will die soon if we don't get some aid." In Western Haiti, 300 patients lay silently in a bed at hospital in Dame Marie, waiting for medicine a week after Hurricane Matthew hit the remote peninsula.
And Ashura marked amid threats and violence, Afghanistan's Shiite population is preparing to mark the martyrdom of the Prophet Muhammad's grandson, despite warnings from authorities of possible attacks.
In political news, tensions flare as the Republicans clash over Trump. Republican leaders hope to prevent an all-out civil war, at least until after the election, but those efforts appear to be failing.
And Trump's 2005 comments disgust women but change few opinions. Female voters in swing states are repulsed by the Republicans' assertion that an old tape featuring him talking about groping women amounted to, quote, locker room talk and not sexual assault.
Hurricanes cost, chaos lingers in North Carolina. Firefighters turn their military surplus truck into the dark floodwaters of Lumberton, inundated by a swollen river.
And sad news for Samsung and the rest of the world. Samsung stops making Galaxy Note 7s. The consumer electronics giant says that it's ending production of the Starcross smartphones permanently because of safety concerns. I was really excited for that phone.
Yeah, but
I'm devastated. I wanted one of those.
They had so many just, you know, technical errors and issues and explosions.
Not just in the firmware.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, plastic explosives. It's basically what it is now.
Yeah. And that's what we joked about yesterday, how you're going to have to start checking your phone at the airport and like show the TSA like the back oh, see, this is, no, this is a Samsung, but it's not a Note 7, it's a Galaxy 7.
Terrorists are getting, like, new technology now in order to, you know, make their jobs easier.
So, how Zika may be worse than initially thought. Doctors are seeing that many babies born with the microcephaly have difficulty swallowing, are prone to epileptic seizures, and have vision and hearing trouble, AP finds.
No strike for Chicago public school teachers. The decision affecting 400,000 students in the nation's third largest school district averts the second major strike for city teachers since 2012.
Nancy O'Dell, locker room, no excuse for Trump. The Entertainment Tonight host says women shouldn't be objectified, even in so-called men's safe havens. And this story was for Joe, but Joe didn't make it.
Poor Joe.
Poor Joe.
Hey, Joe! Do we have Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix on here?
No, we probably do, but it's a little bit...
Oh, please, tell me.
No, we do not.
Dang. Well... For those of you who know the song Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix, just imagine... Well, actually, maybe don't imagine that song, because in said song, Joe goes down and shoots his old lady.
Yeah.
And I doubt Joe is doing that.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe has a girlfriend.
He's probably sleeping. Anyway, because that's what you do at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, this story's for him because it's a sports story. Yeah. And on this show, we don't really care about sports.
Most of us, except for Joe, who's our sports guy.
He is our sports guy.
The token sports guy. Cleveland beats Boston. I was going to say Cleveland bleats Boston.
I like that better.
Yeah. 4-3 to complete a three-game sweep and advance to the first AL championship. What's the
American
AL?
League.
Okay.
Baseball.
Cool.
Cleveland Indians. This is a big deal. They beat the Boston Red Sox 4-3. Complete a three-game sweep to advance to its first American League championship series since 2007, sending Red Sox slugger David Ortiz into retirement. I think he was planning to retire. This isn't saying that because they got beat so bad, it sent him into retirement, or that he got injured. But no, that's a great way to end your career, allowing the Cleveland Indians to get a leg up in the competition.
So... And let's move on to state and local news. So, Mia Love and Doug Owens clash over campaign mailers in their first and likely only debate of the 2016 election season.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says he's finished defending Donald Trump and will shift his focus to defending the GOP's hold on Congress. Trump was not pleased with Ryan's statement and hit back hard.
Hillary Clinton has opened up a 11-point national lead over Trump in new poll. The survey was conducted following the release of tapes showing the GOP nominee making sexually aggressive comments about women, but before the second presidential debate.
Donald Trump promises to step up his attacks on Hillary Clinton over her husband's sexual misconduct if more tapes of his past comments are made public.
Wow.
That is like Anderson Cooper said, the argument of a five-year-old, where it's like, well, if you... You know, get dirt on me, I'm just going to get dirt on you. Mm-hmm. Wah, I'm going to tell Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that's the worst. The ratings for the second presidential debate fell 20% from the first event. More than 80 million people watched the first debate. That number dropped to 60 million for Sunday's clash.
Man. More than 450,000 people nationwide had already voted before the tape of Donald Trump making lewd comments about women came to light.
Utah GOP Chairman James Evans reiterates his support for Donald Trump as the Republican presidential nominee.
Come on.
Deseret News reports. It's too late to dump Trump from the Utah ballot because vote-by-mail ballots are set to go out, Tribune reports.
Republican Dave Robinson, who is challenging incumbent Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, lit into McAdams over a lawsuit against the Mountain Accord, which alleges the group violates open meeting laws.
BYU's university police are facing scrutiny for the number of times its officers accessed a statewide database for police reports. It appears officers dramatically curtailed the use of their system after the state investigation about the practice was launched. One concern is that officers shared information from the system with BYU's Honor Code office.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Provo Mayor John Curtis says he will veto an ordinance passed by the Provo Municipal Council that levies a monthly fee for customers of Provo Power who switch to solar.
And that is the state and local news. I have to say, when we read it that fast and with that much Trump news in there, it sounds like Welcome to Night Vale. In other news, the city council says that we're all, you know, like, we need to use our bloodstone circles correctly. And if we use them wrong, what happened last week may happen again this week, where we'll have to destroy a mirror version of our own reality. You know, it's very just creepy. Anyway. But yeah, that is all for the serious news portion of our show. We are going to take a short musical break, and when we come back, we're going to jump into kind of our political discussion and quirky news. So, thanks for listening to Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3. I'm Catherine St. Clair.
And I'm Peter LaBarge.
And here is Little Barefoot.
Write you better songs like the ones I wrote when I was young. Write you better songs like the ones I wrote when I was young. Stand up fast, get the blood to your head, and dance those legs till you can barely stand. Let the daytime light the way till the night time's end. Now what you gonna do with the time you're did my worst. Is anger ever really the better answer? I can do my best if we all stay friends. Is it ever like the movies where we all stay young? Everything is perfect, we all have fun. Is it ever like the movies where we all stay young and we look a little older? Write your better songs like the ones I wrote when I was young.
That's a great song.
Peter singing signals that we're back. So that was Little Barefoot. And
Better Songs by Little Barefoot. They're a local band in town. At least they used to be. The front man, Taylor Ross Wilson, kind of lives in Provo area now, but he was a Logan resident for a long time. I believe he graduated, or at least did his studies at Utah State University.
So are you super tired from all that food you ate yesterday?
All the food I ate yesterday?
Yeah.
What
food? It was Canadian Thanksgiving. You didn't celebrate?
Oh, you know, I just took a short trip up to Canada, you know. And
all you had to do was come over to my house. We would have given you food. That's totally fine. It's delicious.
For sure.
So, yeah. Sorry, that's my way of saying yesterday was Canadian Thanksgiving. It was amazing. I guess since I'm in America, I need to wait another month and a half.
So, for Canadian food. Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
What do they celebrate? Because if it was yesterday, which is for some Columbus Day, for others Indigenous Peoples Day, and for most of us here,
well,
a day we don't really want to celebrate at all.
Yeah, it's changed. It's the fall on the second Monday of October. There we go.
Hmm.
So, and yeah, that's how I.
And they just celebrate it to have an excuse to eat food?
Well, I mean, why do Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? I mean, I think the real
thing.
That's fair. Yeah, I think the real thing is that we need rituals in a modern society, regardless of religious belief or anything like that.
Rituals or traditions?
Both.
Okay.
Like, the fact that we cook the same thing the same way every year, that's ritualistic as a family.
A little.
You know?
Yeah.
We all come together, we have turkey and stuffing and all that.
Or other vegetarian options if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, but then you're not following the ritual.
True.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make your Thanksgiving any less meaningful.
True. But, yeah, I mean, I think rituals are really important to people, regardless of faith, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's talk about Donald Trump sniffing. Did you get to hear the debate?
I watched
the
both
second,
of them
the
live.
Second, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he sniff a lot in the second debate as well?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he did. I noticed it. The first second he started talking, I was like, I didn't catch it so much during the first debate because I listened to everything as if it was a podcast. And so I wasn't actually watching the debate. I was playing video games.
Well, on social media, there was this video that was released soon after the first debate had aired where it chronicled every time Donald Trump sniffed before he would start spouting off his, you know, rants. And for those who haven't seen it, it's great. Basically, it's like 3 minutes of Trump going. I hope that translates well over the air.
If you want, we can totally reenact it for you. So we got 3 minutes.
And then you have to intersperse it with like wrong. I never said that. It's going to be huge. China, you know, and just like sniffing.
Yeah. So, but he did it to a lesser extent this time, but he was definitely sniffling. Since Hillary Clinton coughing was a big scandal, why don't we turn this into a scandal? Like, Trump is...
Trump sniffing. Pneumonia? Question mark?
Pneumonia? No, I think it's cocaine addiction.
Cocaine. Oh,
yeah,
because okay.
It's a slightly known fact that people sniff when they're, you know, hankering for that good stuff.
What if he just has, like, a deviated septum or something?
Look,
so he's
that
just,
would
like,
be too
sniffing
easy.
The blood back into his nostrils.
Look, whatever's going on. I think Emerson pointed out a pretty interesting thing, which is that it's probably that... he's worried that his nose is runny. Like, it's not actually runny, but he's just paranoid that someone's going to catch, like, a booger. You know what I mean? So he's just
Emerson
like,
is in the poet Ralph Waldo
right,
Emerson?
Right, uh-huh, right. No, Emerson.
A friend?
Yeah,
a friend. Okay, cool.
And I think that's a pretty believable thing. He's just paranoid.
Amidst scandals with the tapes now, I can imagine he's...
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
You have to start calling her that now.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what did you think of the debate?
The second one or the first one?
The second one. We all saw the first one.
So the second one we actually turned into a drinking game. We didn't think about it the first time, and we didn't have any alcohol or anything for the second time, but we took a tally, okay? And in total, combined with Trump and Clinton, we would have had to take probably about 20 shots.
So what are the rules here?
Basically, there are certain tag words where if they talk about a certain subject, you have to take a shot. Shot, for those who... are not the alcohol inclined, is like 1 ounce of
We've all heard
alcohol.
The song. It clearly describes.
Shot.
It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Very informative music.
But basically, for most people, it's probably about 5 shots.
So.
That gets you very inebriated.
Right. And this is my chance to jump in here and be the safety conscious person that I am. 4 shots is considered binge drinking.
Yeah.
So
essentially 20 shots.
If you drink more than 4 is, you know, you can drink 4 and that's like, you know, that's a lot to drink in a night. But, you know, if you could do that at a party. But if you drink more than that, it's considered binge drinking by the medical community, and it's very dangerous for your health.
So then essentially 20 is dying of alcohol poisoning.
Yes.
So thankfully...
That's like most a bottle.
Thankfully, we didn't actually play the game, but it was fun to take a tally. The taglines, if Trump talked about ISIS, if Trump talked about China, if Trump talked about Bill Clinton, if Trump talked about women... or mentioned Sean Hannity again.
Mentioned Sean Hannity. That was so funny. Talk to literally anyone.
Talk to Sean Hannity. I told you, I talked to Sean Hannity, and I was against the Iraq War. I was like, Sean, I'm against the Iraq War.
Yeah, and that's the only person.
Call Sean Hannity.
everyone else is like, we have video evidence of you saying that you support it. And it's like, yes, but Sean Hannity.
Paging Sean Hannity.
Which is just like, I feel like that was a plug, a shameless plug.
I really wish they would have brought out Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Like Sean Hannity's like eating a bagel or something. It's like, Trump, you never said that. It's like, I told you like 10 years ago. For Clinton, if she talked about guns, if she talked about women, if she talked about family, if she talked about Trump's comments about women, like the recent tapes that had been leaked. There was one more. I think Russia. Yeah, if she mentioned Russia or Putin, which she did a couple times.
Yeah. So some interesting things that I think came out of that debate. We could probably just cover the whole thing. It's, you know,
It was only an hour and a half. It was shorter than the first one.
And there weren't that many talking points.
No.
Because they ended up interrupting each other a lot. There was a lot of... I'll say wasted time.
That was another tag, was like if Trump interrupted Clinton more than 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here what I think is interesting is that I was at the library watching it that night, and I went for a walk halfway through, and I noticed that everyone who was at the library that night was watching it. That was what everyone there was doing.
Really?
So it was really interesting. Though, as we reported earlier, only 60 million as compared to 80 million.
Yeah.
So definitely people made their decision after the first one. 20 million people did. But yeah, they opened with a question. I think one of the issues that Trump had during the debate was that he never answered the questions.
Not once.
Yeah, and that was something that they gave him a lot of grief for last time. Lester Holt gave him a lot of grief for not actually answering the questions. And again, we saw the same issue where he was not answering questions. And the two moderators they had this time were very harsh on him for not answering their questions.
I loved Anderson Cooper in that because every time... he would start to talk to cut Clinton off. He would say, let her speak. She didn't interrupt you. Like, yeah, every time. Yeah. Like, those words. Like, she didn't interrupt you. Which is, like, how you speak to a child. Like, hey, they weren't mean to you, so you shouldn't be mean to them. Come on, you're going to be on timeout.
Well, and you know, I was discussing that again. I can't remember who it was, but someone said that it was funny to watch how Hillary Clinton just, like, at some point during the debate, just, like, looked over at Trump with just, like, these, you know, these motherly eyes. And was like, oh, look at you, little Trump, with your ideas. Aw.
And
almost, like, treated him like a child.
Yeah.
You know, said what you would say to a child. And you know, I mean, really, honestly, I can't imagine him winning after those videos surfaced. And Billy Bush knew that. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Billy Bush hid those videos, tried to make them not public, and he's now probably never going to work as a journalist again.
Yeah, he's been barred. Like,
because journalists, it's very important that we report anything that we see. Mm-hmm. That's our job. That's the point of the job. And so trying to hide information or, you know, being caught, you know, specifically saying, oh, well, this would just kill his chances for president and I'm going to hide it, is pretty not acceptable. And so he's going to be looking at a lot of things. But the, you know, bigger than Billy Bush, because who cares, overall, you know, mm-hmm. the bigger issue for me is, like, Donald has no chance after those tapes surfaced. The things that he said were just absolutely disgusting. And the fact that he's like, oh, I'm going to throw a fit if someone reveals more terrible things.
Yeah, I'm going to hit Hillary Clinton hard for Bill for something we've already gotten over 20 years ago.
Right, something that happened. I mean, a lot of students, a lot of maybe even people listening to this right now, you know, were born after that scandal. But these tapes were in 2005, and the fact that Donald Trump is afraid of other things surfacing shows that there's other things to find.
Well, it's interesting, too, because these tapes leak soon on the heels mm-hmm. of another major WikiLeaks leak about right. Hillary Clinton's emails and other tactics by the DNC mm-hmm. to basically kind of muddy the waters of any potential opponents.
Yeah. Now, something interesting there that actually Trump pointed out that I thought was really interesting. He's like, we don't know if Russia is doing these hacks, but we also don't know if these hacks are legitimate. And there's actually some truth to that. Like, you know, what's his name? The WikiLeaks guy.
Julian Assange.
There we go. I knew something French. you know, really hates Hillary, and has said that publicly. And he said that the goal right now for WikiLeaks is to bring Hillary down. And the issue is that, you know, there's like a lot of time in between these hacks and in between these releases, and a lot of it is text-only emails. And as much as, you know, I'd like to believe that, you know, these are all real, there's a good chance that this is not the case.
That it is true. For those who don't know, WikiLeaks is an organization basically designed to leak basically confidential information, which should be revealed to the public, essentially being a way to let free information kind of surface.
Well, and that's the idea. But with Julian Assange recently, he has dropped that neutrality and has specifically stated that he's doing this to destroy Hillary because he doesn't want her.
Speaking of Julian Assange, did you see the videos about the LDS leadership that leaked about
yes,
WikiLeaks?
Yes. Yeah, that was really funny how the first WikiLeaks leak was the church leadership discussing how to defend themselves. It was really funny, though, because what they said is, you know, what...
About internet cybersecurity. Yeah.
No, just cyber. What are you saying? Not cybersecurity, just cyber.
No, about, like to protect how to protect themselves from confidential information being leaked.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just saying that, like, you know, we're supported by Trump, so we need to use language in the way that he.
Wrong. No, I never said that.
We need to start, you know,
China.
Talking. Yeah. So not cybersecurity, just cyber. So they were discussing cyber and potential threats involving cyber and cyber.
And WikiLeaks was brought up, and
yeah.
Julian Assange, and I believe it was...
they thought that he was gay.
Elder Oaks was like, is he gay?
Yeah, is he gay?
And then went on to a rant about, like, the homosexual agenda. Mm-hmm. Completely not, like, going on topic with it being, how do we protect ourselves from this? Like, yes, give us...
Yeah,
give
I
us
mean,
more info.
I think the interesting thing that they pointed out there was that the thing that makes people leak this information, the information that got leaked, was that they don't like the organization.
Yeah.
You know, things don't get leaked if people love the organization they're working for and feel that the secrets are worth keeping. And so I think it's interesting. I wonder who leaked those videos and why. I wonder if they were just kept on a server.
It was helped by Reddit user Fearless Fixer,
yeah.
Who is a guy on Reddit. There's a whole subreddit.
Probably on the, yeah, it's called the X-Mormon.
It's called RX Mormon, yeah.
Yeah, I figured. That sounds like they're doing.
Let's get back on topic about the second presidential debate, maybe wrapping that up a little bit and going into more quirky news. For those tuning in, you are listening to KBLU LP 92.3 Aggie Radio in Logan, Utah. And we're joined in the studio
by Joe.
By Joe Stevens.
Hello, everybody. I'm here.
I'm so sorry, Joe. We read sports news without you. It was awkward, and we accidentally mispronounced everything.
It's okay.
We were saying, Cleveland. But because of the L in Cleveland, we're going like Cleveland bleat Boston,
yeah.
instead of Cleveland beat Boston.
In
the American League.
In the Schlampianship.
Yeah, the Schlampianship American League.
Was Peter's mistake there?
It's all good.
So
did you watch the debate, the second debate?
I did not.
You did not. Well, you didn't really miss much.
I'm pretty sure I didn't miss a lot, so that's why I didn't really feel bad missing it. So
you missed a lot of sniffing on Trump's part, but also you missed America's new favorite hero and red sweater clad man,
yes.
Kenneth Bone.
Yeah. So Kenneth Bone asked a question towards the end, I believe, right? And man, he is blowing up on the internet.
He has gone viral, as they say.
Yeah. So,
he's just a nice looking man.
He's a very nice looking man.
He's very, 90s. It was the
very
comment.
90s.
You know, he's all about that 90s throwback. This guy seems like the type of guy who would ask a question in a town hall to Bill Clinton. You know? So, yeah, kind of funny.
He kind of looks like one of those, farmer dudes. Like, not like a farmer, but like one of those, like, what are you going to do? Have you ever seen Parks and Rec?
No.
Yes.
You know the town hall meetings where, like, people ask ridiculous questions?
Yes.
And Leslie's like, does anyone have any real questions?
Yeah, and then just goes silent.
What's about that guy who's like sandwiches in the park or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's this one question this man asks, or it's like turtle people or something.
Yeah, it's some ridiculous question about something in the park with sandwiches or turtles. And
funny. Oh, what about I don't remember. But he's like that man. He's a plump individual. Mm-hmm. Someone you'd probably want to give a hug, or most likely to play Santa Claus in family gatherings.
No, this is definitely the type of guy who I wish had shown up to my very, very lonely Thanksgiving party last night. Because, he just looks like, your uncle. Very, you know.
I mean, to be honest, my friends and I were joking that he looked like a pedophile. But then once he got up to speak, he just had this this nice, soft demeanor.
Yeah.
And we took back everything we had said.
So that's the funny thing here. So Huffington Post has an article where they took every scene where he was in the background and was like, oh, look what he's doing. He has his right leg up now. And just like watched every move he made the whole night. It's really kind of creepy.
It is a little creepy.
He's just a guy, guys.
And you can see just by his like stances that he's kind of like awkwardly sitting there, like he doesn't want the camera to be on him. And when he asks his question, you can see him like kind of look around nervously. Joe just brought up a picture from the interwebs, the internet, with Ken Bone next to Al from Toy Story 2, Al's toy barn.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They look. Although Al is kind of a creepy individual,
but
Kenneth. It's we call him Ken Bone, but it's Kenneth. Mm-hmm. He is America's sensation right now.
So yeah, that's I guess the end of our debate coverage. is you know, we covered it
kinda
all.
Kind of having an Aleppo moment about the second debate.
Yeah, when we cover Kenneth Bone, we've covered the debate. That was the most
important. The highlight.
I have to say, Donald Trump did a bad job. He didn't make himself look good. And my final thing is, he may not, going forward, he may gain a couple points after that debate. But as bad as he was looking before the debate, I just don't even see.
Well, it's interesting because his points dropped heavily after the first debate. And this debate, his supporters say he did better. But that's the thing. On some online polls, it shows Trump having won the debate.
Right. But that has to do with how you can re...
Anybody can vote in the polls. Polls are not really accurate.
Not only that, but these online polls, you can... I could easily... I mean, I took CS1, I took CS2. So the first year of computer science, I could write a code that would go in and just vote over and over and over and over and over again, you know, dozens of times an hour.
But yeah, essentially that's basically, and the only reason he voted so highly on the second debate of why people say he won is because he did better than the first time. So, but no, I think also in wrapping up, especially my feelings about the second debate, there's this part in the second debate, where they had this dual camera set up so you could see Hillary's HRC's or Trump's reactions to what the other to their opponent was saying. And while Trump was speaking at one point, Hillary was looking like at the camera, very bored, and the camera did like a slow zoom into her face. It wasn't very slow, it was actually kind of quick, and quickly they like cut to a different shot. But basically Hillary was like just looking so bored, and then just the camera like zoomed in really quickly to her face. You can find it on the internet. It's hilarious. But I think it'll be interesting. There's one more. The last one, I believe, is on October 19th. Mm-hmm. This was the second. And with the final debate, who knows? Will we see Gary Johnson on the debate line? I doubt it. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Now, before we start getting real serious about the quirky news... I have a couple of things to say. First off, our show is brought to you by, and the reason why I am seeming so chipper today, in spite of the fact that I'm, you know, quite weighed down by the turkey and stuffing, is because of Cafe Ibis Coffee. And we here at the Aggie Morning Word podcast love Cafe Ibis on Federal Avenue, and we love their coffee, so... and they are our sponsor.
They're pretty great.
Yeah. Brought to you by and fueled by Cafe Ibis. So you guys, who's your favorite celebrity?
My favorite celebrity.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have to say
there's a right and a wrong answer.
Either Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Tom Cruise or Shia LaBeouf.
Bam, there we go. That's a good list. What do you think?
The memes. Yeah. It's all about the memes.
Do you want a serious answer or more of like a...
Oh, both.
Both.
Both?
Yeah. Give us the serious and then the joke.
Okay. So the serious one would have to be Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah.
Vinny
D's.
I love Vin Diesel. I saw the Iron Giant Signature Edition last night.
Oh, man.
Because I bought it off of oldies.com.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And Yeah, it was amazing.
That was my favorite show as a kid.
I love that movie so much.
Oh, if I were to watch it nowadays, though, with my soft sentiment, I would bawl so hard.
Oh, I was crying.
Oh, man.
I was crying.
Oh, now I'm thinking about it, and I'm just, like, almost tearing up. Yeah. Oh.
No, it's a good movie.
So, when is the sequel coming? Come on.
I don't want a sequel. I want
to I want a sequel.
I don't want it.
I want him fighting, like, sea monsters or something.
So, okay, what's your joke, then?
What's your joke, Faye?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, every time. So, Shia LaBeouf streamed what looks like a wedding.
Oh, no way. You got married?
Yeah, it seems like he got married in Vegas.
Oh, of course.
By a... how do you get married in Vegas? Who marries you? Elvis Presley lookalike, right?
Yeah, or the actual Elvis Presley.
Well, right. All Elvis Presley lookalikes are actually Elvis Presley clones.
Reincarnate.
Created by the alien overlords that took him into space.
The Illuminati.
So many years ago. Welcome to Night Vale.
Him and Pac and Prince and Michael Jackson. And David Bowie.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe Shia LaBeouf's married to, what's her name, Mia Goth?
Mia Goth, yeah.
Mia Goth. So yeah, maybe. But also, maybe this is just for art. He is rocking a great mullet, though.
He is. I think he's kind of like the 21st century's like hidden gem. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, yes, we know him from hit movies like Holes and the first Transformers.
Whoa. I always think of him in iRobot.
That too.
Where he's the awkward kid who doesn't know how to swear.
Don't swear. Go home. Yeah. Hey, let me get 10 for the bus. It's like, stop cussing because you're not good at it.
Yeah.
She just shot at you with her eyes closed. I could quote that entire movie. but also he was in great movies like Fury with Brad Pitt. He was also in Lawless, which was also a great, great movie about Moonshine Brothers with Tom Hardy. But also, he kind of went off the deep end a little. But from that, he became almost like a living performance art. He had this art exhibit where he sat in a room and people would come in. He wouldn't say anything. He was just sitting at a table. And people could say whatever they wanted to him. They could ask him questions, but he wouldn't respond. But in that instance, like, he was raped. Like, yeah. Like, a man and his girlfriend came. I won't go into the details, like, he was assaulted. Mm-hmm. But he still kept going on with the exhibit.
That's terrifying.
Later, he had a live stream of him in a movie theater watching his own movies.
Yeah, yeah. That was good.
Where it was a camera watching his reactions. And he stayed up straight. Like, he didn't sleep at all. Watching through all of his movies from the beginning chronologically.
And of course, the best thing he ever did was actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
With Rob Cantor.
Yeah, where he's just in the background clapping at the... Oh, man.
That was good.
Rob Cantor's a musician. He was in a band for a while called Tally Hall. But essentially, he wrote a song called Actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf, where it's a story... about Shia LaBeouf, like,
trying to kill you,
eating bodies in the woods. And you stumble upon him and you have a legendary fight. It's great. You can find it on YouTube. It's not gruesome at all. It's actually, there's a live version you can find where it's actually staged.
It's really high quality.
Acrobats and children's choirs and high flying, like the
quiet.
It's great. But then at the end of the video, spoilers, we already spoiled it, but it's great. Shia LaBeouf is witnessing this. Yeah. There's also dancers with paper mache Shia LaBeouf heads.
Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty great.
It's quite spectacular.
Yeah. Now, we all love Slayer, right?
Oh, I was playing Guitar Hero last night.
Okay, but like in reality, I don't even know. I know that they're
brutal
metal.
Brutal heavy metal band. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like them and I don't I don't really know who they are. But if I read this to you, Joe, could you guess where the headline takes place? People love this shirtless dude rocking out to Slayer during Hurricane Matthew.
Well, it's definitely not in Haiti because people are dying there.
Right. So where was this?
Where was this?
Yeah, take a guess. Because it's a real easy one.
Shirtless dude rocking out to Slayer during Hurricane Matthew.
During Hurricane Matthew.
I'll give you a hint. It's one of the most conservative.
Florida? Yeah.
Yeah, Florida. So it's Jacksonville, Florida, which is one of the most conservative cities in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
But yeah, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, hey, that's where my sister lives, just by reading the headline. And yeah, it is. It is. It's exactly where it takes place.
That's awesome.
I cannot believe anyone lives there. It sounds like a nightmare.
It is also, it is a video that went viral on the internet, basically of a shirtless man with long flowing locks in the middle of the road, headbanging to Slayer, holding a massive American flag during Hurricane Matthew. So the rain is beating down, the wind is flying. It's like Slayer's, not anniversary, but it's some event that was important to Slayer. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us really care. But the shirtless man, it's been shared over like 300,000 times. Like,
oh, man.
Making light of a tragedy that's happening in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
At least some folks can get a kick out of Hurricane Matthew.
That is 100% what you'd expect from someone from Jacksonville. Oh, look at this terrible tragedy. I'm going to wave an American flag, listen to Slayer, and run around mostly naked. You know.
My dad actually lives in Miami, and yeah. He flew out here because my sister just had a baby. Right as like Hurricane Matthew kind of came into fruition. So it's he flew back though, so now he has to endure the rains and floods, but
and I think this may be our final story for the day, but everyone loves Spaceballs, right?
Spaceballs. Of course.
The great movie
beeps,
by the King
the
of
Creeps,
Com-
the Sweeps, bloop, bloop. Strawberry Jam.
The made by the King of Comedy.
Oh no, Raspberry.
Yeah.
The
Raspberry.
King of Comedy. Rick Moranis?
No, the guy who wrote it.
Who directed it?
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks,
yeah. Mel
really.
Brooks. King
Mel
of comedies.
I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, you know.
How do you make The Producers and Spaceballs?
Yeah. I didn't like the new one, the new producer.
Really?
The old one was so much better.
Oh, but Uma Thurman as a...
Well, yeah, I know. But
Ooh,
like,
la dance.
But anyway, so... as much as I just randomly brought up Spaceballs because I wanted to talk about it, also, scientists just spotted a bunch of mysterious balls of plasma in
no
space.
No way. That is cool.
So this is kind of interesting, and we kind of discussed this before the show. So this
Now they know I've read this before.
Oh, no.
We don't need plasma anymore. We can just go to space for it.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Scientists, go to space, harvest the plasma. Oh, see, but then we don't get paid at the biomat.
That's true. That's always nice to get paid.
Probably. It's not the same plasma.
No, definitely
if only,
not.
If only we could synthesize hot plasma
into
vaccines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this case, this is likely a binary star.
Cool.
And we cannot see the second star in the system, but essentially when the star gets too close, the gases from the smaller star get pulled into the other one and then slung across space. And, of course, the artist's rendition is super Star Trek looking, but it looks really cool. And... I don't know. It's kind of one of the more interesting science news, other than like, you know, that star system that still might have aliens around it. We're not entirely sure. What was it? They were saying that there are three completely never before seen phenomena around that star. And while we have, you know, regular explanations for each one, it's kind of weird that one star has three weird things that we've never before seen. So we've
Space.
Come up with experience or with explanations, but it is a little bit suspicious still.
Yeah, so. For those who don't know what a binary star system is, essentially it's two stars that kind of orbit each other, which then cause other gravitational crazy stuff in said systems. But what they think happened is as Kat had touched on, there's a larger star and then a smaller star that's kind of orbiting it. And when the smaller star gets close, it actually pulls the gases off of the bigger star, which then orbits into like a disk, kind of like Saturn's rings. Or if you've seen the movie Interstellar, when there's the giant black hole and there's that bright wave around it, it's called an accretion disk. Essentially, those gases are trapped, but because of how fast it's spinning, it actually supercharges that gas and then kind of whips it around and throws it, kind of like a sling, almost.
And this is a little bit different from that, just because we believe that the orbit of the binary system is kind of comet-like.
Yes.
So where it's a very extreme ellipse.
It's elliptical, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A very extreme ellipse. Ellipse.
But so because it whips around that so quickly, it
exactly.
throws the superheated gas can't maintain its inertia to gravity ratio. Mm-hmm. So then as the star comes around, it just shoots the plasma off into space. That's at least what scientists are theorizing at this point. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. What we found from like the red light shift and that sort of thing, looking at these plasma balls, the closest one to us originated, or at least the closest one in date originated around 1986. Mm-hmm. Further ones out were tested to have been originated like 400 years ago.
Yeah.
This star system being 1,200 light years away, a light year being the distance light travels in a year.
And in this case, you know, the plasma balls are probably going a little bit slower than light, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, light travels at like 300,000 kilometers per hour, right. I believe it is.
Yeah. So, and I guess finally, since we're talking about space.
Oh, did I say per hour? I mean per second. Oh. I apologize.
Since we're talking about space, I guess one last thing. Cosmic rays, the rays that come from stars, you know, radiation, and including radiation from distant stars, may actually give off enough energy and radiation to fuel life in underground
cool.
planets,
hmm.
or like under the surface,
yeah,
in a planet, even if it doesn't orbit a star anymore. It's so like the star's gone supernova and it's just like this really old dead part of the galaxy. There still may be life living under the surface. You know, obviously microbes is what we're looking for here. But yeah, there's a chance that we don't have to just look for Earth-like planets.
Oh, cool.
So, kind of interesting.
Or rather, we don't have to look for solar system like ours, where it's orbiting a star.
Because
for a long time, that's how we believed that life had to exist, that it had to orbit a star. But in analyzing Europa and like Titan and like Jupiter's moons, we know that really you just need high gravity to kind of generate that energy to like from gravitational waves to support life, heat underneath the surface. But it's kind of cool now that we can, I guess, extrapolate or theorize that cosmic rays could provide that energy in a planet that's not orbiting a star at all, that's kind of just drifting through space.
And I think on that we will close with the idea that let's all take a moment to be grateful that we have both Saturn and Jupiter in existence, because if we had, if they had formed as one single planet, we would have two stars and no nice, cool, relaxing places like Canada would exist on this planet. So
I think we can all be grateful that, you know,
we have one star.
In the crazy cosmic event that was the formation of the universe, we are now here. That doesn't make us special, but, you know, we are alive because of our current distance to the sun.
Yeah. So, shut up, Peter. I'm a special snowflake. Anyway, no, but thank you guys so much for tuning into the Aggie Morning Word podcast. Join us. We will continue to probably along this schedule where we do 8:30 to 9:20, and we will probably be doing this type of a schedule where we spend the first 30 minutes, you know, doing hard-hitting news, and then the next 20 minutes kind of discussing the news and, you know, trying to, you know, I don't know, connected more to the university. You know, how do students feel about these types of things, and how do they affect you? So, but yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you all tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And
that was KBLU LP 92.3.
Logan, Utah
on Aggie Radio.
Tune in at radio.usu.edu or on our TuneIn or, you know, on the regular channel. And mm-hmm. we also podcast this, so you can check us out there.
If you liked us talking about Shirtless Slayer Man and Ken Bone enough,
yeah,
you can download the podcast off of Podbean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also on the Aggie Radio website.
Yes.
So, anyway, I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Peter LaBarge.
And I'm Joe Steven.
Thanks for listening.